It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Yes, what an amazing show we have in store. Thank you for joining me here for another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 710 WOR and throughout America on the powerful iHeartRadio Network. Thank you, New York. The Nielsen ratings have us in the top 10 in New York AM radio once again. And of course, it's a tribute to the amazing listenership of this program. They've come to expect great business content week in and week out. And tonight's show is all about two all important subjects these days: cryptocurrency and cybersecurity. Before I get to my amazing guests, a special thank you to the amazing team here at BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important support role. The great team at 710 WOR iHeartRadio. Thank you, Zeb Brenner, for the shout out, you know, each week. And of course, we're on all the various assets that we are on: Nucky Radio, Liquid Scoop, The Jewish Home, Business Class Clips. We're out there, of course, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Player.fm. The list goes on. We also have a powerful YouTube channel. Many of our YouTubes have already surpassed 5,000 views. You can automatically receive and be notified every single time an episode goes live, even tonight's show on cryptocurrency and cybersecurity. You'll be notified when it goes live if you subscribe to the channel. We're at 710 WOR Mind Your Business on YouTube. 710 WOR Mind Your Business on YouTube, and you'll be notified when tonight's show, which is being video recorded as well as the broadcast you're listening to, will go live. And before we get to our guests, a special thank you to Rhonda Marazzati, CMO at Withum, Jason Bachrach, Director of Marketing and Investors Bank. But without further ado, tonight's show brought to you by Investors Bank and Withum. We are going to be speaking with executives at both of these incredible organizations: Mike McIntyre, Senior Vice President, Director of Business and Government Banking at Investors Bank; Mark Fitzgerald, Chief Information Security Officer at Investors Bank; Damiano Tulipani, Vice President and Cybersecurity Manager at Investors. We're also going to be speaking with a couple of distinguished individuals at the team at Withum. Chris DeMeo, he is a partner and a practice leader of their technology and emerging growth practice. And Mark Eckerly, senior manager at Withum and team leader of their digital currency and blockchain technology practice. About Investors is almost 100 years old, the big centennial anniversary a few years away. With over $27 billion in assets and a network of over 150 retail branches throughout the Northeast, Investors Bank delivers personalized services and products tailored to the needs of businesses and consumers alike. Withum, around almost 50 years, is a national top-ranking public accounting firm providing advisory, tax, and audit services to businesses and individuals on a local to global scale. They have they're headquartered here in Princeton, New Jersey, but they have a presence in all the major financial centers throughout America: New York City, Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Orlando. Withum is also an independent member of HLB, the Global Advisory and Accounting Network. For more information, visit them at Withum.com. Well, on tonight's show, as mentioned before, it's all about cryptocurrency and cybersecurity. An important note before we get to our guests. As always, the thoughts that are going to be shared are important and real-world advice. However, please always contact your independent accountant, lawyer, or IT advisor for specific guidance. That's just an important note. And also, we're recording this late July 2021. So if you're watching this YouTube video and it's the end of 2021, things may have changed, right? And Chris is going to jump in on that for sure. And we're going to get to it a little later in the show. You know, just cryptocurrency over the last month has been all over the place. So certainly if you're turning in by the end of the year, who knows, maybe way up or the other way around. With that intro, very warm welcome to the great team here that's joining me on tonight's show. Thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business. I'm going to first turn to, I get to pick, it's great. Mark Fitzgerald, I'm turning to you first. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great today. How are you, Yitzhak?
Amazing. Now, as the Chief Information Security Officer at Investors Bank, could you describe your role and how it interacts with the overall team? 2,000 people at the bank.
In my role, I oversee all of the security aspects associated with both protecting the bank and also protecting our customers' data. This includes cybersecurity. There's an area called identity and access management, and then all of the operations and engineering that goes along with doing that. So it's a pretty complex and sophisticated. Also includes a lot of management and oversight of the regulatory compliance aspects associated with us being a bank. So we have accountability into a number of different regulatory agencies as well. You asked about, how does that, how do we interact with the rest of the bank? And what I coach myself and my team about is that we assist and enable our lines of business to be able to support the product set and services that we deliver safely and securely to our commercial and retail customers. And I think we do a pretty good job of that. And we have a fairly good track record of doing that.
Now, Mark, we hear a lot about protecting one's data and having all of these complicated passwords and the like. Perhaps you could share, and I'm not asking for anything confidential, but perhaps you could share what business owners out there, what type of advice would you share with them in terms of protecting their information?
Well, complex passwords are just one small part of the entire equation that you need to do to stay secure. What's even better, and I'm sure most of you have experienced this, is what's called one-time passcodes that you get either via text messages to your phone or to email. This is known as multi-factor authentication. And what it does is it makes it much harder, almost impossible, for a bad guy to get into your account or into your business, because they would either need possession of your unlocked phone, which is very difficult to achieve, or have access into your email account. Because of that, it gives you a much higher level of security than just a password only, which would be called single factor authentication. So the first thing I would advise everybody is make sure that any access into your applications or business data or customer data have multi-factor authentication associated with it.
I'm going to turn to Damiano Tulipani, Vice President and Cybersecurity Manager at Investors Bank. I mean, cybersecurity is such an important topic, as mentioned, and as kind of everyone. I mean, by the way, do you still run into some people that just don't get it? And they're like, I've heard about it, but I don't think it's that risky. I don't think it's that dangerous.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
You come across, all different types of, individuals that, take this stuff seriously, and some that just don't really care about it, right? But my role is just to continue, to educate people and the importance of cyber and the importance of, having a different password for different systems and having multi-factor and having different controls, to protect your identity. Because at the end of the day, when we talk about cyber, it's all, we talk about how do you protect your identity? How do you protect the identity of the organization that you're working for? So those are some of the things that we look for here. And even me, as my job continues to grow and my responsibilities to continue to grow, is how do we continue to set some controls around, some of these protections?
So Damiano, just so that I could frame it, what on your role, what are some of the specific areas that you're on the lookout for?
Always on the lookout, right? For red flags. Red flags, we try to minimize any kind of, risk to the organization, making sure that, vulnerabilities are addressed within a time frame. We want to make sure that if there's, like critical vulnerabilities, that they're not being overlooked, especially if the, if the patches are that important to, they need to be applied straight away. So, cyber, we always say that, cyber is different than information security. Because cyber, if you look at it from the analogy of the different layers of an onion, right? Cyber is that in between layer of that onion, right? So my job is really to get into that crevices of that onion and really try to find ways to exploit vulnerable vulnerabilities that might, you know, exist.
I'm going to turn to Damiano and back to Mark Fitzgerald here. Unfortunately, over the last quarter, two quarters, there have been some, you know, national stories about whether it's the pipeline and meat packing facility, and again, just to name a few, but some very high-profile ransomware attacks. Can you please discuss what a ransomware, what a cyber attack is, phishing, some of the important terms that really every business owner, whether you're a business of one or a business of many, they all have to be aware of these incredibly important subjects. Perhaps you could explain it all.
Damiano, I'll let you start off and then I'll add if necessary.
Sure. So, I mean, when we talk about an attack, right, we're talking about attack on an individual, we're talking about attack on a system, a device that's vulnerable. And, you know, we always say that, you know, our weakest link is our end users. And if we're not doing a good job in protecting and educating and giving our end users the tools that they need to protect themselves, you know, that's where we try to spend our time. You talk about phishing attacks, you talk about the different types of attack. When I started in this business a long time ago, you know, there was like one or two phishing attacks, you know, types of attacks. Today we have, you know, you could just Google it, right? There's a whole list of phishing attacks. There's spear phishing, there's whale phishing, there's vishing, which is a phone scam. You know, I think everybody's familiar with phone scams. They get those phone calls. But these bad actors are really going after the, you know, like the whale fish, which is the big guys, the big fish in a corporation, because those are the ones that are really susceptible of an attack.
Hey, Damiano, if I could add to that, if you don't mind, you know, especially for the small business owners out there, we see attempts to come in and say, you know, I'm the CEO of this company, and I need you to release $100,000 payment because we owe it to a vendor. You know, please send it to me, or please send me this file. We saw an example of a customer who came to us that we spoke to, who sent their entire employee names and social security numbers and salaries out to a third party because they thought it was coming from the CEO.
But no, that's a good point, a good segue, right? And then how do you train somebody, not just our users, right? Anybody to detect that, you know, that there's a problem with that request. There's a problem with that email, right? And, you know, there's simple things to look at, you know, and I know that not everybody's an expert in, you know, verifying domain credentials or domain URLs, I'm sorry, not credentials, URLs. So it's like, it's the simple things like that, this urgency, you know, these bad actors will always try to exploit the urgency side of the fish. You know, there's always a sense of, hey, we got to get this out right away. Right. And the end user or the individual is just, you know, clicking on the email and clicking on the link and introducing a ransomware to the system, because viruses are, you know, in my opinion, I think viruses are a thing in the past. They do exist, but ransomware is really where the money's at today. People want to lock your system. They want to see, you know, how far they can lock your system, including your backups, right? Because they're trying to, you know, they're trying to handicap you. So there's got to be definitely controls in place to really try to mitigate against those types of attacks.
Now, Damiano, I know this may sound simplistic, but is it fair to say that anyone that receives an email that it looks a little fishy, it's not that clear, just don't open it?
I used to do instructor-led training, right, with our new employees. And I used to say, if it looks like fish and it smells like fish, then it's got to be fish, right? So
probably fish.
Always say, you know,
try it.
So fish, right? so delete it. You know, I always say that, you know, delete it. And I always been a big, you know, fan of that practice, because if it doesn't look right to me, I'm going to delete it. And if it's really important, that person's going to pick up the phone and say, hey, Damiano, I sent you an email. Why didn't you reply to it? Right. So, you know what? You know, you kind of have to play that role during this process. You know, and really validating who that person is. You know, if you've never seen this person, if you've never seen an email coming from this individual in this organization, there's really no reason for you to open up that email.
So Yitzhak, if I could expand on that.
Sure.
And then if the email's open, typically it includes a website link, a URL, which brings you over, and it's asking you for an ID and password. And that's typically how passwords, IDs and passwords get compromised. So, you know, if you open an email and then, you know, you are hooked a little bit, you're going to get hooked for sure if you take that extra step, navigate out to that website, and then surrender your ID and password.
Wow. We're speaking with executives at Investors Bank and Withum. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful. But the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify what is it I do best.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
If you're running a business, you know how hard it is to penetrate your target market, but I'm looking to change that. Hi, I'm Yitzhak Saflis, host of the Mind Your Business Show and CEO of Bottom Line Marketing Group. Visit bottomlinemg.com, that's bottomlinemg.com, to get an idea for how we can help your business grow and increase market share. Call me for a free marketing consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Gotta go. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 710 WOR. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's show, brought to you by Investors Bank and Withum, is all about cryptocurrency and cybersecurity. First, we're talking about protecting oneself. So the first part of the show is focusing on cybersecurity. I'm turning to, in particular now, Damiano Tulipani, Vice President and Cybersecurity Manager at Investors Bank, and Mark Fitzgerald, Chief Information and Security Officer at Investors Bank. Thank you for joining me. You know, I'm going to turn to both Damiano and Mark here. How does someone know if they're in a position that they've actually been a victim? They don't even know it yet. They didn't get the ransomware notice, but they are compromised. They don't even know it. How could someone know? Yeah.
Hey, Damiano, I'll start like we did before. Maybe you could add some color to this. What the perpetrators of ransomware do when they get access to your system is they kick off a job that encrypts all the data on the system that would lock access to it unless you have the code. So they basically, that's the being held hostage part of it, why it's called ransomware. They hold your data for ransom until you make the payment. You make the payment, they give you the code, and it decrypts everything, and then it's back what's called in the clear. So your first indication is going to be you're not going to be able to get to your data. It's just going to look like a bunch of gobbledygook. You're not going to see the file names. You're not going to be open files. You're not going to be able to applications might start going haywire. Damiano, I don't know the other early indications other than that it just seems like a system problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think you pretty much, you know, hit some of the points. You know, from the other side of the discussion, I always, you know, talk about, you know, setting up different kind of alerts, right? You know, are you a victim of identity theft? So I'll give you an example. About 6 months ago, I get a call from my HR department saying that, hey, did I file for unemployment insurance? And I says, well, like, are you guys telling me something? You know, is it, do I need to pack my bags and get ready to go? And sure enough, my records got crossed somewhere and, you know, I got hit with identity theft. And I think, you know, having some of those controls in place, like alerts, credit monitoring, you know, taking a look at your statements, there's a lot of indicators around your bank statement that you could just, simple steps that you could take, like looking at these trickle charges and these trickle transactions, right? You know, where the perpetrators are using, you know, small amounts of, you know, currency just to withdraw and move money around. So those are definitely indicators that I always tell, you know, individuals to take a look at, because that's where it starts. And then, you know, lo and behold, you know, when you finally realize that, you know, that you have an issue, you know, the problem is going to be a little bit greater, and you might be, you know, facing a true identity theft and, you know, potential financial losses.
Mark, I'm going to turn this back to you. Can you tell us about, and we touched on it earlier, but tell us about some of the external ransomware attacks that unfortunately are happening with increased frequency these days.
So it does appear a common thread from a number of these ransomware attacks, as we've been talking about so far, is either they were using single-factor authentication, which was easily compromised because, for instance, somebody might be using a password summer 2021 or summer 2021 exclamation mark. And under single-factor, that's easily guessable, right?
Yeah.
So if my ID is N. Fitzgerald and I'm using under single-factor authentication summer 2021 as my password, anybody could log into my account. And unfortunately, that appears to be common in these recent ransomware attacks. Then the other struggles that companies have had is they haven't put in the protections against ransomware that are listed out there. And, you know, Damiano has some information on who you could go to get that. But basically, if you just Google ransomware defenses or ransomware checklists, you would see the types of things that you need to do as a small business to ensure that you and your company don't become victims of ransomware.
Now, yeah, and some of those, you know, some resources are available to everybody, right? So, you know, just do a quick Google search for ransomware protection, ransomware checklist. You'll see that. You'll get, you know, definitely some hits back on different things that you need to be doing as an organization in controlling your ecosystem. The other resources that I use heavily is the Cree Letter agencies, you know, the FBI, the Secret Service, you know, the CISA, which is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency. And then one that I use heavily is right here in our backyard in New Jersey. It's called the NJCIC. NJCCIC. So really a wealth of information, and not just in ransomware, but just in general cybersecurity guidance that anybody could take advantage of and apply those controls within their environment.
Mark, Damiano, you know, we all, this was touched on, we all are juggling so many different passwords. Are there any tricks that you have, any tips for, I mean, we can't, unless someone's a real, you know, has a photographic memory, they're not remembering all the passwords. Any quick tips or tricks on this?
Well, I would start by saying that the most important thing that you do, and, you know, unfortunately, it would mean that you have to keep, you know, separate passwords. But we see all the time people using the same IDs and passwords on their social media accounts and other unimportant accounts that are easily hacked. And then they use those same ID and password credentials to log into their financial or investment accounts. And that is a huge problem, because if that other site gets hacked, now people have access to your critical information. The other information may be a nuisance, but not that much of a problem if someone were to get into your Facebook account. But if they get into your bank account, you have a different problem. So it is recommended that you use, you know, complex and different accounts when it comes to that, any account that's associated with money, whether it be your credit card account, your bank account, your investments accounts, your insurance accounts, your 401k, and things like that. So that would be the top tip. In terms of trying to remember, there's password keepers out there, and you know, don't write it down and put a sticky note on your PC, because if somebody gets in there, they can see it. So please take those down if you have them. Just some common sense things. And then, you know, if you're going to keep it, you know, on your phone, and I acknowledge that I do keep some of my passwords on my phone, but I don't put the entire password there. I use asterisks to replace a 4 or 5 digit number that I have committed to memory, whether it be my phone number growing up or a past of address that I used to live at that nobody would know. But I hide it by putting stars there, knowing that that number will always be that number that I have committed to memory.
We're speaking with experts at Investors Bank, and with them tonight's show, cryptocurrency and cybersecurity. Just an important note, although the experts on tonight's show are sharing important thoughts about cryptocurrency and cybersecurity, in general, of course, please always make sure to contact your local professional advisor in these areas for specific guidance. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGNUP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Successful right here on 710 WOR. I'm joined in studio, my co-host, once again, Mike McIntyre, Senior Vice President of the Director of Business and Government Banking. We're speaking with also Mark Fitzgerald, Chief Information Security Officer at Investors Bank, Damiano Tulipani, Vice President of Cybersecurity at Investors Bank. And we're going to be going to, of course, Chris DeMeo and Mark Eckerly at Witham. But before I go to them, just want to final thoughts. I'm going to turn to Mr. Fitzgerald here as it relates to the as we've been speaking about cybersecurity.
Yes, thanks for that.
Sure.
The one thing about these multiple passwords I just want to mention is that the industry has been slow to address this problem, and it's a pain point for all of us. It's resulting in significant risk to people and companies. And what I see coming soon is the combination of using artificial intelligence in conjunction with blockchain technology, the likely elimination of passwords altogether. The data that's going to be coming out of the blockchain will have enough of a history of your use pattern and the devices you use and where you use them that banks and websites will be able to know it's you with near certainty and provide you with access to log in without having to supply a password. So that's what I see coming soon. And I do think that security has been getting better. All of the updates that are going out there are patching holes, and it's more difficult for the bad guys, and we do need to stay one step ahead of them. And I believe that's what we do day in and day out at Investors Bank.
Wow. And you do that for over 2,000 individuals at the bank. That's at Investors. I mean, again, managing the amount of money and the amount of individuals, retail branches, and the advice that you share with the many tens of thousands of clients that you have. So thank you, Mark. Thank you, Damiano. We are now going to turn to Chris and some of the experts at Withum to talk about cryptocurrency. Chris, I was looking forward to this because, you know, cryptocurrency has been around for a couple of years. There's some people out there that get it, have mastered it, have made a lot of money on it. And there's some people that just stay like, what's that? Perhaps you could talk about that world, digital coin. What are some of the names that they're traded under? Could you give us a primer on cryptocurrency, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Sure.
You know, digital currency has been around for a while, and people may be surprised to know, I mean, it's been around since 2009. So it's been quite a while. Really, 2009 is when Bitcoin began. And Bitcoin was sort of the birth of digital currency as we know it today. And that's really the most popular, most well-known cryptocurrency that's out there. But since that time, it's proliferated well beyond just Bitcoin. When we think about cryptocurrency, there's probably like the usual suspects, the ones that people hear a lot, Litecoin, Ether, Bitcoin. Those are the most heavily traded coin. But there are literally thousands of different digital currencies that exist at this point that are floating around in the universe, so to speak. What's important to keep in mind when it comes to digital currency in general is for many years, probably through 2016, 2017, a lot of folks looked at this as experimental, something that was going to kind of come and go. Maybe it was a fad, but really for the most part, I think it's pretty fair to say at this point that digital currency is an asset class, that it's not going away. It's not going to disappear or fade into the background. It is here to stay. So it's something that we should all pay attention to try to understand, you know, what that means for the business community.
And that's, just to make sure that I really, ask the question properly and that people get the value out of the show. Why should someone care? Why does it matter to them?
Well, I think what matters is that digital currencies play a lot of different roles. It's not a one purpose asset. So when you look at Bitcoin, for example, Bitcoin is a digital currency that's really used primarily for investment purposes. People buy it and sell it for the purpose of trying to make a profit out of owning it. They don't use Bitcoin to go to their local Starbucks and buy coffee. However, there are many other coins that are out there that have way different utilities that are not investment purpose. They help transmit money cheaper and easier and faster. They'll allow you to buy it, go to a store and buy coffee. They will allow you to perform functions by holding them. In fact, now you can use cryptocurrency to actually own digital pieces of art, as an example. A perfect example right now is there's a company out there that is fractionalizing baseball cards. So you can actually literally, if you want to own a Mickey Mantle rookie card, you can use this digital currency to purchase a fraction of that card. So why should we care? We should care because the technology is real. It's not going away. And the use cases are expanding. There will be a point in time where you're not going to be able to avoid using cryptocurrency because it's going to just kind of seep its way into a huge part of the business community.
Hmm. Now, as mentioned at the top of the show, we're recording now in late July. But as we've been preparing for the show over the last few weeks, the price has been all over the place. Perhaps you could explain how that happens, why that happens, and I don't know if you want to go out on a limb, make some predictions here. Chris, I'll leave it to you.
Well, I'll say this. Any prediction I make is at best a guess, right? And I think that's the case for everybody. One of the downsides of cryptocurrency, at least in its infancy, which is kind of where we're at, we're just kind of getting out of its infancy stage, is that the volatility is absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, one of the things that's hard for people to understand is that, you know, cryptocurrency doesn't have market fundamentals, right? So it's not, you know, there's not some company that's building something and selling it, right? It's not Apple that you could look at a financial statement and say, okay, this is what the market fundamentals of this is, and therefore the stock value is going to go up and down. We don't have that in Bitcoin. We don't have that in cryptocurrency in general. You know, so why the volatility happens, there's a lot of different potential reasons, and it's sometimes hard to really put your finger on it. As an example, Elon Musk, a very, very, obviously a very big, powerful person with a lot of money and a lot of influence, has been very vocal about the fact that he's not bullish on Bitcoin right now. That by itself affects the Bitcoin value. There's no question about it. As he starts pulling money out of Bitcoin and putting it into another digital currency, that affects Bitcoin value. So markets react to things that are going on inside the market. And for example, sometimes the value climbs because big market makers are putting a lot of money in. A big piece of the reason why the value declined recently is because China announced that it was banning Bitcoin mining, which we can get into what that is and may take a little bit of time. But that announcement and their crackdown on the concept of mining has actually had a material impact on Bitcoin. And I keep on going to Bitcoin first, not because it's the only one, but because it's the 800-pound gorilla. And when generally all the other cryptocurrencies sort of, you know, follow in volatility to Bitcoin. So we usually use Bitcoin as our moniker for what the market's doing.
I'm going to hand it over to my co-host here, Mike McIntyre.
Chris, thanks for being here and welcome to the show. You mentioned at the top of your segment that there are other beneficial uses of the underlying technology that does support crypto and how it's essentially going to be used in other more meaningful ways for a larger population of people. You know, one of the things that I read about and that I'm talking to clients about is the term distributed ledger technology and how it may have potential applications and uses for things like loan documents and agreements and things like that. Can you give a description of how distributed ledger technology is part of the crypto ethos and how that's going to benefit our customers and users down the road?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So when you hear the term distributed ledger technology, the more popular or well-known parlance for that is blockchain technology. So you'll hear a lot of people use the term blockchain. But probably the more accurate way to describe it is distributed ledger technology. Blockchains are actually within that distributed ledger. So why does this matter? The first thing is that, as I mentioned before, Bitcoin, as an example, isn't owned by anybody. There's no Bitcoin office. The plumbing of Bitcoin is the blockchain. Distributed ledger technology is the thing that Bitcoin is built on top of. It's the technology that it uses to actually work. And it is a open source technology. And what that means is that it is the blockchain and the distributed ledger of any one of these major cryptocurrencies is available, open in the web, and can be viewed by anybody. It's not owned by anyone. And it's actually maintained by everyone who participates effectively in cryptocurrency. So the most basic way I can describe blockchain technology, and it's very crude, but it's the best way I can do it in a short period of time, is imagine we all have on our own personal computers a massive Excel spreadsheet. And that Excel spreadsheet is filled with every single transaction that has ever happened relating to Bitcoin, in every trade from every person who has ever traded Bitcoin in the history of Bitcoin from 2009. Everyone on this call has that Excel spreadsheet on their computer, and it's independent, right? So mine isn't connected to yours, but we all have it. Whenever anybody makes a trade If I want to give Bitcoin to Mark, we all collectively look at our spreadsheets and we agree that I have that Bitcoin to give, and then Mark has that, can receive that Bitcoin. And then we all agree, and then that transaction happens. The concept of blockchain technology is immutable trust. What that means is that because there's so many people who are all looking at the same piece of data, and we're all collectively agreeing that it's happening, you can't effectively defraud transactions on a blockchain. Again, the best, shortest explanation that I can give. So if you can have a document that has immutable trust, right? Well, how can you use that in other capacities other than, you know, cryptocurrency? And some of these ideas that are coming out are things like using it to store medical records. What if all of our medical records were stored on a blockchain, and therefore anybody could transact to those medical records with somebody else using the right permissions and never have to worry about a mistake being made? What if we could prove title of an asset? Right. So right now, if you want to buy a house, you got to pay somebody to, you know, have title insurance. Somebody runs the title and looks to make sure that there's a clean history of ownership. Well, what if all of that history of ownership was stored on a blockchain and you no longer had to, you know, you could instantaneously prove ownership without incurring costs or time? So when we think about cryptocurrency in general, I actually think the star of the show is distributed ledger technology. Cryptocurrency is a proof of concept to distributed ledger technology. And I think that we're going to eventually see this type of technology perforate in a lot of different industries for a lot of different uses.
And Chris, if you don't mind, I'll jump in real quickly on the smart contract aspect of it. That's really kind of the next step in what blockchain technology can be for a lot of people. The idea that two parties can enter into a contract interchangeably and kind of eliminate that intermediary or that third party to execute an agreement. So I can enter an agreement with Chris, and we could define those terms and what that would be. And it works similar to like an if-then function. If for any of my Excel gurus out there, we agree if I perform my task, if and when that is completed, then I will receive payment. And everyone agrees upon those terms at the beginning. So it's kind of alleviates the headache down the road of not getting paid for services or any disagreements. And it takes away that third party to really execute those transactions.
Now, Mark, that was Mark Eckerle, a senior manager at Withum and team leader at of the digital currency and blockchain technology. Thank you. Earlier in the show, we heard from some of the experts and investors about cybersecurity. I'd like to get a sense from you as to, you know, how some of these emerging crypto technologies may change the way in going forward that we store passwords and that we handle encrypted data.
Yeah, definitely. Mark Fitzgerald brought up a great point with the multi-factor authentication or the 2FA. And that is critical when it comes to really owning your passwords and owning your accounts, especially when you're buying and trading these digital assets. In order to go and buy, or the common way in order to go and buy digital currencies on an exchange or on a platform, and you create a username or an account. And when you do that, you're really giving up title to those assets. So there's the common saying among the crypto community where if it's not your keys, not your coins. And what I mean by keys there is if you don't own the private key associated with your crypto, so the owning the encryption storage of your digital assets is held on what is known as a wallet address. Think of it like your bank account. You're given the 12-digit numbers. That's your bank account number. It's similar with cryptocurrency. You're given a wallet address, which holds your assets. When you hold those assets on an exchange, it's technically held at a third party, just like your money is held in a bank. The biggest thing about cryptocurrency is that the community wants to take title to their assets and really hold their coins. So having that encryption around your private keys is critical in storing those assets securely in a safe place. So the whole community came, the big central point and focus is really around the encryption and cryptography of these assets and really holding the assets in a secure place.
Hey, Mark, it's Mike here again, and thanks for joining us. It's my understanding that that much of the allure of digital coins and distributed ledger technology is that these platforms are, they're open in nature, they're global, they never close and they're open, you know, 24/7, you know, 365. Is that the case?
Yes. Yeah. So unlike the stock market, which is 9:30 to 4 p.m., you can buy and sell digital currencies any point in time, holidays, weekends, 2 a.m, whenever you see the right target price, the sell side or the buy side, you can go and do that at any point in time. So that is definitely one of the benefits of this marketplace that a lot of people think is game changing, where you buy, sell, trade at your convenience, right? You're not tied to someone else's time standards or when they're available. You could really do it at will.
You're listening to 710 WOR, Yitzhak Safwas, Mind Your Business. You know, Mark, as I close out my question for you here, you know, we have business owners that are listening to the show, both you know, live and then of course on the various platform. How should I, as a business owner, evaluate these technologies, and how should I, as a strategic perspective, look to find ways to introduce these technologies, these platforms, to actually help me improve the overall results of my business, you know, enhance security, enhance our customer experience? What are the things that a regular small business, middle market company should be thinking about, you know, in the near term?
I think one of the best use cases of digital currency in total, Chris mentioned this earlier, is the payment rails. The payment systems have really developed and changed over the last 12 to 15 years. And it's the speed of the transactions. Everything settles fairly instantaneously. And it's all very quickly. We're so used to using our phones nowadays. Everything is built on the mobile application, so you can have it on the go. And it's just as convenient as using your credit card, where you're not holding multiple dollars. You can process transactions very quickly. So I think that is one of the best use cases for businesses nowadays, is to onboard those payment rails, those payment systems. And you can even see it, I think it was about 2 months ago, El Salvador was the first country to adopt Bitcoin as a legal form of currency. So now all of their businesses are starting to integrate this technology as a form of payment for all of their citizens. So I think that's going to be the first step globally, where more and more countries really start accepting Bitcoin as a legal form of currency. And you're going to see it used as more of a form of payment as we continue to grow in this technology.
Just to jump in there as well, I mean, I think that it's been somewhat, the market has accommodated a lot of businesses at this point in time, kind of ignoring Bitcoin or cryptocurrency in general and kind of putting their heads in the sand. But I think, you know, one thing that's important to remember is that, you know, businesses don't dictate how the market works, right? The market dictates to businesses how the market's going to work. And there's no question that as new generations continue to come into the marketplace and spend money, they're much more comfortable spending money using digital currency than old generations. We're going to see a demand, an expectation over time, that businesses accept some form of cryptocurrency. It may not be, you know, a specific one like Bitcoin, or maybe a new one that we don't even know about yet. So I think that that's one of the messages. It's here to stay, and you've got to start, you know, adopting it. The other piece I'd say is, you know, if you're a business owner, there could be potential benefits and risks to business currency, to digital currency for you. It could be a disruptive technology for you. And what I mean by that is, the, you know, the example I gave of the use case is title, right? Proof of title. If you're in title insurance, or if you're an attorney that really just works specifically in the title space, you know, digital currency is actually a real potential disruptor for that marketplace. So also evaluating your business and trying to figure out, like, you know, could this be a net positive or a net negative to me as this new technology continues to seep into the market?
Tonight's show, Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrencies, featuring executives at Investors Bank and Withum. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets, terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text sign up on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519 or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
Hi, Shep Hyken, your customer service and experience expert, and I'm excited to tell you about my new book, I'll Be Back, How to Get Customers to Come Back Again and Again. Now, this book is packed with idea after idea on how to, just as the title implies, get your customers to come back. In the book, you'll learn that repeat customers aren't always loyal customers. Now, both are great, but there's a big difference. You'll also learn about 10 reasons a customer may stop doing business with you and 3 reasons you would stop doing business with them. And one of my favorite lessons is a 6-step process for creating an I'll be back strategy. Of course, there's much, much more. The book ships out in September, but purchase it today and you'll get instant access to the ebook at no extra charge. Just go to www.illbebackbook.com. Again, that's www.illbebackbook.com.
And we're back. Mind your business here on 710 WR and the iHeartRadio Network. Our final segment here, I'm going to hand it over to my co-host, Mike McIntyre.
Thanks, Yitzhak. And Chris, again, thanks for a great segment so far. At the top of your segment, you touched briefly about mining and how some countries have been taking an opinion or an action to limit that. Can you discuss and describe what mining means and how that is being, how that's driving a lot of the activities that we're seeing?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So as I mentioned before, in describing what blockchain technology is we all have separate sets of copies of what the blockchain is, right? On our computers, imagine that. And I want to transact with somebody, so I'm going to give Bitcoin to Mark. What a miner is an independent third party. It's literally, it could be a person. And what their job is to validate that on the blockchain, I had that coin to give and that Mark actually received it. They actually literally validate the transaction and its authenticity. The way that happens is actually through computer algorithms. So basically, I literally could buy a computer and if it has enough power, I could run a software that does the actual quote unquote mining, which is the validation of a transaction. Every time a transaction happens, miners race to validate it. Whoever can validate it first and prove that it is true and accurate gets rewarded with brand new minted Bitcoin. So I don't pay for the transaction, neither does Mark. New Bitcoin is created for that miner. So there are mining farms, meaning literally warehouses filled with thousands of computers that are 24/7 just mining cryptocurrency. So that's what the miners are. Now, that's what I was mentioning before, is that China has basically looked to stop mining, and that created a massive flux in the market.
You know, as we close out this segment, Chris and Mark, and I want to thank you both for your insightful comments this evening. You know, I love working with accounting and law firms because you're closely aligned to how banks take care of our customers collectively and how we're always looking for new ways to extend our scopes and our breadth. What were some of the decisions that prompted Withum to enter into the crypto and into the DLT space?
Yeah, I mean, I think when in the early days of cryptocurrency, again, it actually had a very kind of touchy reputation. People kind of thought about cryptocurrency in a bad way, that it was used for illegal transactions. So you have to watch these things closely. But as technology evolves and you start seeing really true, meaningful use cases in the marketplace, you have to make sure that you're on the edge of it and you're able and willing to support it, in anticipation that your clients are going to need it. And for us, we became meaningfully invested in the crypto space because we believe that it is going to shift the marketplace and that we want to be there for when that happens.
Tonight's show, cybersecurity and cryptocurrency, brought to you by Investors Bank and Withum. We heard from Mike McIntyre, who is with me here in studio, Senior Vice President, Director of Business and Government Banking, Mark Fitzgerald, Chief Information Security Officer at Investors Bank, Damiano Tulipani, Vice President and Cybersecurity Manager at Investors Bank, as well as executives at Withum, Chris DeMeo, partner at Withum and practice leader of their technology and emerging growth practice, and Mark Eckerly, Senior Manager at Withum and team leader of their digital currency and blockchain technology practice. Well, as the audience knows, by Tuesday morning, this entire episode will be up at myb.radio.com. It's also going to turn into a very popular YouTube episode here on 710 WOR Mind Your Business on our YouTube channel. This wraps up an amazing edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful. Every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.